children are dismissing. Amen. Without any further ado, I am blessed on this afternoon to present to you, amen, a man that I love, I admire, amen, and I like being around him. Amen. Because he always has the joy of the Lord. Amen. And he's not ashamed to say it. He'll testify about it. Amen. And I just appreciate, amen, the energy that he has, the passion he has for Christ. Amen. And we got a chance to fellowship on Wednesday night in Bible study. He was already fired up and stirred up. Amen. God anointed and blessed. Amen. And it was just great to be a part of. And he didn't even know he had the word at that time. Amen. But when you're consistent and you're faithful, amen, God opens the door. Amen. For you. So with no further ado, can we get excited? Can we greet Brother Elder Matthew in the heart and praise the Lord?
All them accolades and pinning on, my goodness. All right. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Elder Tinsley already got me some water up here, so I got double aqua. Something down inside me telling me to go ahead.
Amen.
And we're coming down the home stretch. Do you know what that means? That means the race is almost over. Do you understand where I'm coming from? We're coming down the stretch spiritually. And brothers and sisters, the finish line is in view. Jesus is at the finish line. And he's encouraging you and I to hold on. He's encouraging you and I to be faithful. He's encouraging you and I to come on. He's encouraging you and I that we can make it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you have the Holy Ghost, baptize in his name for the remission of sin. There's no excuse. Come on, give me a witness. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to talk to leaders now. You ain't falling asleep. Because it's no time to fall asleep. I'm excited this afternoon. You say, what are you excited about? I'm excited because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm excited because there's no condemnation over me. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So either you're in or you're out. And if you're out, there's condemnation on you. I didn't say it. God's word said it. You see, either you're saved or you're not saved. Amen? Either your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it's not. Either you're walking with Jesus or you're not. Well, I don't have nothing against Jesus. He's all right with me. But have you surrendered your life to him?
Yes.
Have you become born again? And the bottom line is, do you have a relationship with him?
Okay.
Amen?
Yes.
You can believe in him till he comes back the second time. The Bible says, thou believest in one God, thou doest well. The devils believe, and they what?
Tremble.
They know that there's a God. I'm talking about all them fallen angels. They know that God is real. They know that God is coming back the second time. When he was here on earth, them demons possessed those people. When they saw Jesus coming, they knew who he was. Man doesn't know, but those spirits know. And it's time for you and I to know. This is a no-soul salvation. I don't stand here to boast or brag. I stand here humbly before you. I sit humbly before you. My mind is made up. My heart is fixed. Where are we going to go? Talk to me, somebody. Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Where are you going? Outside of Christ, where is there to go? Back to the pit. Amen? Listen, 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. There's a whole lot in that chapter. We're not going there. Jesus was talking to them about something spiritual. His disciples. He was talking to them about something spiritual. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part. They were looking at something spiritual from a natural point of view. They misunderstood what he was saying. These were disciples, believers, followers. And because they said this saying is too hard for us, scripture says many of them left him to not walk with him anymore. And then Jesus turned to the rest of them, Peter and them, and he said, will you go also? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, there's nowhere else to go. Once you've had a true experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, once you've had a true experience, everybody hasn't had a true experience, but once you have had a true experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never be the same. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Thank God that you'll never be the same. Because you and I will never fit back in there the way we used to. one that baptized me. Evangelist Carey's father. Minister Paul's father. He used to say, once you get saved, you're all messed up. And I thought I got saved not so I wouldn't be messed up. But he said, let me break it down to you. Once you get saved, the only thing you're good for is serving God. And that's a good thing. Amen? Ooh, hallelujah. Once you get saved, you're all messed up the right way, he said. In other words, what does it mean you'll never fit back out there? Once you have had a taste of the power of the world to come, amen? And being in Christ, the Bible said we are sitting in heavenly places.
Yes.
Listen, this is the ultimate life to live, living for Jesus. St. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more
abundant.
You don't start living that abundant life till you surrender that life to Jesus. Oh, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I'm famous, I'm popular. Without Christ, you're nothing.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Now, I got several scriptures I want to read to get us to where we have to go. I'm excited.
Yes.
I mean, Minister Andy's in good hands. I ain't worried about that.
Yes.
He's saved.
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
He's saved. Let me say this before we go any further. We look death in the face and say, bring it on. To a child of God. To a child of God, death is a reward. The Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. If it's precious in God's eyes, you and I should rejoice. Brother Justice. Woo! Over there. First Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. I'm sorry, Alexis. Forgive me. I'm sorry. God bless you, looking like mom over there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Let us read together. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we worship you, we praise you, we adore you, we love you. We need you, Lord.
Yes.
Can't do nothing without you.
Right.
Lord God, we pray that you anoint these lips of clay. Realize that without you, we can do nothing, Lord.
Yes.
Lord God, we pray that you have thine own way this afternoon. Speak to our hearts. Help us to hide the word of God in our heart that we sin not against you. Now, Lord God, let some soul cry and say, what must I do to be saved? You take full control. We won't fail to give thy holy name the honor, the praise, and the glory. Let us all say in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You may be seated. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy, Alexis, chapter 3. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many of you out there, how many of you out there your mind is made up?
Hallelujah.
I'm serious. How many of you out there your mind is made up?
Amen.
You don't have to raise your hand, answer the question in your heart. And I'm going to say this because I feel led to say it. What if the army was marching here right now and had rifles? And they say if you want to take a bullet for Jesus, you stay here. But if you don't, you can leave. What would we do? I did say we, right?
Yeah.
What would we do? Just chew on that. What would you do? What would I do if the military marched in here right now, and they very well can, amen?
Yeah.
If they marched in here right now and told you and I, we have a choice. If you stay here, we're going to shoot you. If not, you can leave. But you can't talk about Jesus anymore. You are denouncing Christ. No more Bible reading. No more prayer meetings. No more Jesus. But if you stay here, you're going to take a book. What would we do? Serious question, isn't it? And I hope and I pray that every last one of us here in Christ would take that book. Amen? Come on, amen? Why? Because we're that serious about serving God. That's what time it is. You and I gotta be mindful that when it comes to that point, God will give us the sufficient grace to lay down our lives and be a martyr for Him. I mean, this work of God is supposed to, it is a spiritual, intimate, individual relationship we have with Christ. Spiritual, intimate relationship. You're not really living until you have a relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. What would we do? And like I said, I pray that every last one of us would take that book. Now watch this. The moment you and I take our last breath, we'll be ushered into the presence of God. Can we say amen? Those that are going to die for the name of Jesus and are not going to take on the mark. The moment their heads are cut off, I'm talking scripture, amen? Their souls and spirit will be ushered into the presence of Jesus. We have to be looking forward to getting out of here. Paul in the first chapter of Philippians, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Death to the child of God is a reward. Because Paul says we fall asleep in Christ. Justice is just asleep. Amen? Hallelujah. Woo. I'm envious. Woo! Glory! Falling asleep in Jesus. Your mind and my mind have to constantly stay on Jesus. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse number 5, having a what?
Form of godliness.
But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Woo! Paul talking to Timothy. This is the time to live in. Turn with me to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We're going to talk about Brother Moses. One of my favorite, just one. One of my favorite Old Testament characters. God used that movie, The Ten Commandments, to deal with me. Charlton Heston played Moses. Can't nobody play Moses like Charlton Heston. I mean, that movie stirred me. I mean, God is sovereign. God can take whatever he will and whatever he wants and use it to his glory. That's God. And he used that movie to stir me up. Hallelujah. This is the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the Hall of Fame of Faith. Hallelujah. We want to go to the 23rd verse, Alexis. Verse 23. She's on the ball. Hallelujah. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We can stop right there. There's pleasure in sin. Amen? You think them folks out there ain't having a good time? They're having a good time. But it's only temporary. It's only for a little while. It's not satisfying, amen, to that void that's in the soul. Only Christ. We sing this song, satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied with Jesus. Said he be my comforter. Said he be my God. Been baptized in Jesus' name. Telling that the Holy Ghost till the Holy Ghost came. Ever since that wonderful day, my soul, ooh, hallelujah. Yes. Only true satisfaction is in Christ. Yes. Let us go to the book of Exodus, chapter 32. This is where we're going to get our message from. God has been dealing with me about this message for a long time. I'm up here sweating like a stuffed pig. And I don't even need pig anymore. You keep praying for me because by the help of the Lord, I'm going to overcome this thyroid problem. And it causes me to sweat a lot. But by the help of the Lord, I'm going on. This rest of the tabernacle is dissolving. I'm looking forward to getting a glorified body. Yes. Amen? Yes. All right, Alexis, I know you got it. Let me turn to it, okay? All right now, she's on the ball. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to break this chapter up because there's so much in this chapter. Now, we read in Hebrews the 11th chapter that Moses, when he had came to years, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Moses, his name means drawn out of the water. Now, verse number 1, chapter 32, verse number 1. Now, at this particular time, they had already been delivered out of Egypt. They were in Egypt for 400 years, crying out for deliverance. 400 years of bondage. 400 years of slavery. Amen? They would die off and then they would be born again. And the Egyptians couldn't get rid of God's people. God was fulfilling his promise he made with Abraham. Amen? Amen. So after 400 years, here comes Moses. God raised him up. And 10 miraculous plagues, and the last plague was the plague of death. They get delivered out of Egypt, get down to the Red Sea, start murmuring and complaining and hooing and hollering. And then God told Moses to go forth, put his rod in the sea opened up. They crossed the Red Sea. Pharaoh and his army followed them. They were going to take a swimming lesson that they weren't going to pass. They all drowned in the Red Sea. So they get on the other side of the Red Sea, now they're at Mount Sinai. They're at the foot of Sinai. And Brother Moses goes up into the mountaintop. And this is where we are. Aaron was left in charge. Moses is the type of Christ. He goes up into the mountain. Aaron is the type of a pastor left in charge. Amen? A shepherd. A shepherd that went wrong. Verse number 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto him and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we not. What is become of him? W-O-T. All right. Verse number 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off. Oh, Lord, this man is messed up. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them unto me. Lord, and all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. All right, we're going to go down a little further here. But that's a lot. All right, now we're going to go up into the mountain. I'll read verse number 6. And they rose up early. Verse number 6, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and burnt peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. They rose up to sin. That's what they did. Amen. Verse number 7, and Moses is on the mountaintop with God. He has no idea what's going on down below. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get ye down, for thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf. Keep in mind, for 400 years they were subjected to idolatry, idol worship. Amen? You think it had an effect on them? I believe it did. Amen. Scripture said it did. Thank you, Jesus. And have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, now listen to this, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which hath brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now we're going to jump over into verse number 19. Now, right after this happened, God had told us to Moses, God was going to wipe Israel out. But Moses interceded for Israel. He stood in the gap and prayed for them that God wouldn't do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, we're going to pick this up in verse 19. And now Moses is on his way down. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. He was burned up. And he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. Moses came down out of the mount. He had the Ten Commandments written by God's finger. And he saw the idol that they were worshiping. They were giving this dumb golden calf credit and praise and honor for delivering them out of Egypt. That's like a slap in God's face, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. 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 We're going somewhere with this.
Right.
We definitely going somewhere with this. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and sued it upon the water. And made the children of Israel drink of it. Moses was hot. He was burned up. Hallelujah. Now I want to get to verse 26 where we're going to take our thought. Ooh, hallelujah. Verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gates of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. My thought this afternoon is, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Now that's just not talking to you. That's talking to the whole body of Christ. That's talking to everybody who claims to be a Christian. That's talking about everybody who's walking with God. Or so-called walking with God. In these last and evil days which we're living in, who's on the Lord's side? On these last and evil days that we're living in, who's living for God? In these last and evil days that we're living in, a lot of people are playing church. A lot of people are saying they're on the Lord's side, but their life doesn't back it up. Who's on the Lord's side? Who's gonna stand for God?
Yeah.
only spoke of two ways. He spoke of the straight and the narrow, and he spoke of the wide and the broad way.
Yes.
Now the wide and broad way is full of religion, drunken with religion. The wide and broad way, people say they're on the Lord's side, but their lifestyle. You gotta have a lifestyle to back it up.
Amen.
Amen? Let your light so shine that men may see. Somebody's gotta see something in our life. That men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Brother Daniel, he was on the Lord's side. The three Hebrew boys, they were on the Lord's side. Moses, hallelujah, Joshua, Caleb, the list goes on. The prophets, they were on the Lord's side. And if you fall, get back up. Get back up by the grace of God. Get back in His grace. Hallelujah. Hey, whoever's here on Wednesday night, be here. We know a lot of people don't show up. Pray for them. But I look forward to being here because I'm on the Lord's side. I look forward to being here on Sunday because I'm on the Lord's side. If you don't want to go, I'm going because I'm on the Lord's side. If I don't want to go, you go because you're on the Lord's side. Woo, hallelujah. These are the lasting evil days. And I want you to know, spiritually, it is dark. But a little illumination pushes back a whole lot of darkness.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That little night like we have in our bathroom at night. I get out of bed to go to the bathroom, bounce off this wall, bounce off that wall. But when I see that little light, you know I'm telling the truth. When I see that little light, I say, oh yeah, right there. That's I know the conditions he has to work in. I know the men that he has to work around. And I told him, I said, that's your spiritual missionary field. Them some heathens over there. And all they want to do is come to work, do their work, get paid, and go. They don't want to hear nothing about God. Man, the nerves of you trying to talk about Jesus to me. I don't want to hear it. And that's the world, period, amen? Hallelujah. Who's on the Lord's side?
Hallelujah.
Is your mind made up? Is your heart fixed? Are you going all the way? Hallelujah. When nobody else wants to lift them up, are you going to lift them up because you're on the Lord's side? When none of the brothers and sisters are around, when the pastor's not around, and you're around your unsaved loved ones, are you going to be on the Lord's side? That's what his life counts the most. When you're home all by yourself and nobody else is around, are you still on the Lord's side? Are you going to be watching something you have no business? Are you still on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. Woo! This message, I already preached this message before. I preached it on Thursday night, laying in bed. It was just Jesus and I. Tore it up too. God said, now you go preaching on Sunday. Who's running that? I'm telling you, God is awesome. I be preaching to myself sometimes when I start praying. And I said, Lord, is it all right for me to do this? I'm supposed to be praying. And then God said to me, well, who gave it to you? I'm telling you, he's real. And I love him because he first loved me. I'd like for everybody to stand. Who's on the Lord? Ministers and elders come forth. Who's on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. Israel, these people 40 years of spiritual knowledge. Who's on the Lord's side? Let them come over here to me. Okay.